Looks like that's working. Ness, do you mind Skype the thing again? Just because the transcriber comes back in. All right. Okay. So on the rescheduling meeting cadence, Chris, you said you may have a conflict and you will not be able to show up on that, but you are not going to be participating in that much anymore. It's going to be mostly Brent Z who's going to be joining. Any idea when he would be starting to join?
He and Russell are actually both out this week, so it would probably be starting next week.
Okay. Awesome. Always happy to have on my phone. Okay. Then let us, does anybody else have any objections to that time slot? Okay. Hearing none. Let's start next week with this. I'm going to update the thread, resolved to start on the week of, what is it? On the 11th of April? The 11th of April. Yeah, on the 11th of April at 3 p.m. EST. Love to move meetings to 3 p.m. Okay, cool. So hopefully next week we'll have less conflicts. Can anybody communicate with the CCG chairs to try and move that timeline? This is... because I tried it last time and I wasn't able to move the timeline. They need to move the timeline. We could just send them an email and they're reasonably responsive. I'm happy to do it again if that's, you know what, I'll just take it. I'll talk to the chairs and we can move from there.
I know Will. Is he one of the chairs? Will?
Yeah. It's fine. I've communicated with them about this last time in general. Not a big deal. I can take it. Alright, so back to our regularly scheduled agenda. We have a lot of PRs that we need to get through, which is really good. So let's go through them. Go ahead.
I just had an item I wanted to bring. Please. More like a general statement about my impression of the state of the specification, and a bit my experience as someone who's been contracted to build an implementation of this specification and where that resulted me today, regarding requirements of the specification, and to also address, how that fits in the 1.0 release. Some disagreement I've been seeing about what should be tested and not. And I think there's a conversation that needs to happen regarding the interoperability portion. I think for the vocab, it's, you know, there's vocabulary that's self-sufficient, but for interoperability and what it means to be an implementer, I'm starting to wonder what is the purpose of the existing test suites and what does it mean to be an implementer? So like sort of these questions that I'd like to maybe address.
Okay. I think this is going to touch on a bunch of the PRs that are going to be coming in anyway. So we might as well start there and make sure we're all working from the same point. So I hear your concern. Do you have concrete questions or that we can address?
Maybe I can start with this, right? So I started to join this group. I was under contract with the BC government and their task was to build a component that could bridge the infrastructure with the traceability specification. This has been done. We deployed the controller and infrastructure. I passed 99% of the tests, yet I'm being told that nothing is conformant. You know, I don't use and this is partially because of the new requirements that came in. I don't use the right data model, not the right status list, not the right proof mechanism. And this is slightly frustrating. You know, there's been time and effort put behind this and there's no way for me to comply, to demonstrate compliance to these new requirements. So it makes it very difficult for someone who wants to implement this you know, I believe, you know, BCGov is a government, official government entity interested in participating here. And there's no way currently, as of 2 weeks ago, to do this. And this raised some concerns for me. And also when we inquired, when I inquired to change some test suite, I can see there's some strong disagreements that some of the current tests should not even be tested. So I'm wondering what should be tested for an implementer to be interoperable, and what does it really mean to have an implementation of the traceability API specification? What can be expected of it?
That's an excellent question. I think, Nis, you had some thoughts on this when we talked a while ago about what matters really, conformance versus interop. Do you want to maybe take that, or
I can? I think we've reflected on the work we've done. We put so much work, and Chris, not least, into our test suites. And I think generally, or maybe I should just speak on behalf of myself, but we've come to acknowledge that a lot of what we're testing, in particular on conformance, is actually internal and doesn't belong in an interop specification. And equally, part of interop is also overstepping the line of what is internal versus what is actually cross security boundary.
Because looking at it, the only thing I can see that is not internal would be the presentation's endpoint.
That's right.
But the only test for the presentation endpoint is that it returns a 200. Like, that's not a test, right? Like, I can just create a presentation endpoint that returns 200 and I'm conformant of the implementation. Like, this doesn't make sense. Like, for every statement that you make in the spec, like, you must use the data model 2.0, you must use the string status list. Like, there needs to be a way to test this. And I understand that some endpoint would be internal in a production application, but you still need to provide an interface that a test suite can call. Even if you don't use this internally, you need to provide a way to test this. You know, so for me, this is the distinction. Like, yes, you're testing an implementation, but you're like kind of testing like a bridge towards an implementation to see if the internal code of the platform carries the right operations, right? Like, of course, you don't need, every time you revoke a credential, you're not necessarily going to call the /credential/status endpoint. Like, that's up to the implementer, but there needs to be a way for a test suite to say, like, look, I want you to revoke this credential to make sure that this other implementation can detect this revocation.
So
for this, yeah,
I agree with you 100%. I think that's also what Nis is saying. What he's saying is basically today we may have made a mistake when we started doing a lot of the effort in this test suite by focusing too much on the mechanics of how a credential is issued, how it is revoked, how all these things, which are really internal to the service, when we should have been focusing on building scenarios that in order to pass as an implementer, you can do it however way you want internally, but the outcome should be that you are able to process a VC data model 2.0 credential. The outcome should be that when you revoke a credential and somebody submits it to you, you should be able to verify that it was revoked, that kind of stuff, right? And to me, the actual tests are all basically scenarios to the /presentations endpoint. So what I'm thinking is probably the most valuable thing we want to do is revisit our interop tests and make them basically test specific scenarios against /presentations.
But almost how could you conduct, like, let's say you want to have a scenario that entity A issues a credential, entity B verifies this credential, entity A revokes this credential, entity B verifies this credential. How could you do this without making individual calls for the different steps of your scenario to some kind of exposed?
But you do. You would. But the, yeah. The point I'm making is that exploit endpoint is slash presentations. And what we want to test is the connection between, so let me give the concrete name just to make this cleaner, right? Let's say Neoflow wants to test against measure. What we would do is, the scenario would be Neoflow-measure revocation test. And it would be Neoflow issues a credential, Neoflow, you don't care how, right? It, like, either, that shouldn't be in the actual, like, that's not what we're testing, right? What we're testing is calling slash presentations with a credential to measure, telling it, hey, this is a credential that Neoflow has revoked. Please make sure that you're able to, like, check for revocation status, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is internal, right? So really what we want is supplied test artifacts from each implementer that satisfy maybe a revoked credential and a valid credential and a credential that is using the latest data model, stuff like that, like a credential that satisfies every one of our must requirements. And the interop part is we submit those artifact credentials to every other implementer. And that's mm-hmm. how you test that, you know, for example, let's say for the sake of argument, Transmute's revocation is not able to support statusless 2021. They're only able to support revocationless 2020, right? And yeah, on Mavenet's side, we revoke a credential that is statusless 2021 revocation. We submit it to Transmute, and they say, yep, it doesn't work, because statusless, we don't know what that is, we don't process it, sorry, I can't handle that. That is a valid test that we should have, and in that front, we don't know who failed Mavenet or Transmute on that specific test. We just know that it failed, right? Either we revoked it wrong, or they don't know how to process that revocation. But when you have a picture of multiple implementers on multiple different scenarios using the same artifacts, that's when you're able to actually say, oh, well, actually, in that case, Mavenet revoked it correctly, but Transmute was not able to process it. Just for the sake of, like,
yeah,
example, right?
I think
those are what we want, right? So that's a statement that I'm making. I don't know how people feel about that statement. Do you think that that's a real thing, or do you think that's maybe too much or too little? Or
like that makes sense, but I like currently I don't see how only the presentation's endpoint could provide this information, because the presentation endpoint should not return a status like unverified or the presentation endpoint is just to receive the presentation and then internally the verifier is going to verify. But I don't think that endpoint as
no,
I understand
but you would
now,
respond so, like I couldn't verify like this presentation is not valid because you don't even need to say because, right? You're going to just say this presentation is not valid as part of your response. Internally, you'd know it's because you're not able to verify one of the credentials in it because it's been revoked. But, you know, presentation is not valid. And so to me, the tests are basically you have a set of valid and invalid credentials issued by each different party. And then you run them against a slash presentations endpoint by every other party. And that seems a lot simpler for us to like maintain and write. But it also is a lot more valuable because it's reflective of actual capabilities of each entity, right?
How would this test, like, okay, let's say we want to test revocation. How would the implementation know that it's being tested for revocation?
I don't understand. So I have two credentials. One is issued that is not revoked. One is issued that is revoked, right? I submit a presentation to your implementation. And in the first,
yeah, but how does this exchange get triggered, right? Like, cause
we have
you want
workflows
these,
them. Like a Postman workflow definition, the same way today we have scenarios for checking against interop today, right? Like that's already in the spec. It's
yeah, but this workflow, this is what I'm not understanding. Like this workflow, like there's the Postman collection. It sends a post request to an endpoint. to tell that implementation to issue a credential. But now we're saying that we're not going to make an endpoint available so that the test can ask this implementation to issue a credential. So like, what is the Postman instance going to communicate with on the implementation to tell it, run this test now?
Okay. So in my mind, what we have is a slash artifacts directory in the repo itself. In the artifacts directory, we would have valid credentials and invalid credentials, or whatever we're calling them, valid presentations, invalid, whatever it is, right? And all you're doing is you're submitting to each implementer a presentation with a valid implementation and invalid implementation, invalid credential.
But how does that test that implementation A implemented the revocation properly? You don't test.
It doesn't. But you're testing if five different entities that I'm testing against with my valid credentials or my invalid credentials are all saying this is not working properly, right? Then that's how you detect that it's failing, right? It's not going to be a one-to-one, like it could be my fault or it could be your fault if it's a single one-to-one test. But we already have five implementations here, so it's kind of easy to see where it's erroring out, right?
Yeah. But that, yeah. So each implementation would submit a valid and an invalid credential in this repo, this artifact repo, and then you would test each against each sort of thing?
Yeah, that's, in my mind, that is a valid solution, right? Where you would go to, like, organization A, you tell it, please issue me a new valid presentation with these credentials that you have, or whatever it is that, like, forget the exact little mechanics of it, but that's the gist of it, right? Give me a valid presentation. I'm going to submit it to org B. Give me an invalid one. I'm going to submit it to org B. And then you do the same thing with org C and org D. Yeah.
And would this, like, submit me this presentation be made sort of a, like an out-of-band GitHub pull request method? Like, just out-of-band issue? Yeah.
I assume so.
Okay.
I think these don't have to be, like, dynamic. I think these could be static. But so this, I don't know if anybody has better ideas. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Like, it'd be good to have, like, an ongoing set of credential, ideally. You know, I think that's a good place to start. However, like, that's pretty considerably different than how it happens now. And that would, you know, then you wouldn't, obviously this would mean that we remove the traceability API of the traceability interrupt. Because right now there's a few endpoints, you know, in the spec it says it's expected that when you have the traceability API service, you have these endpoints available. So this would basically say that you only have slash presentations available.
And I believe that is the statement that we're making here, that we're saying that what we really care about is when I submit stuff to you and whether you're able to process it correctly. Everything else is really your business, right? And you can build it however way you want. You can do, like,
so you would remove the link with the VC API completely.
I think that is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
but I don't know if anybody else has.
No, I would agree with that, and that's kind of that's the driving force, not reinventing the wheel or not trying to keep two things the same when we can just have them focus on the parts that they are built for. That's
what we're really saying is you have the VC API and if you want to implement it, go ahead. What to be compliant with both, the only thing is that our presentation's endpoint requires you to do a couple of things in a few different ways, right? You need to support workflows, you need to support VC data model 2.0, et cetera, right? But if you want to support the VC API's credential issuance, go ahead. And we don't need to keep syncing it up with them. Just use theirs, right?
I mean, just from what I'm understanding, I feel like this would test the core of what needs to be tested, you know, just by basically you're using the verifier capability of every implementation to test what they've previously issued.
And I think, like, there's gonna be some thinking that needs to happen on what exactly the scenarios are, et cetera. But to me, the scenarios are, you test every must statement in the trace interop, and you check, and that should be it.
Would you, so would that still use Postman as a testing mechanism, or would it change that?
I don't see a reason why we would need to change. Does anybody?
No, I agree. That would be the starting point,
Yeah.
I think it works fine as is.
Yeah, but it would make it, the only problem I see with this is, or maybe it's not a problem, like, it would make it difficult for someone to prepare for this. Well, I guess not.
No, to join, all you need to do is just submit two artifacts or whatever it is that you need, and you're done. And even our docs would be simpler, because Arlo or docs would be like, hey, so give us an issued, like, issue a credential, put it here. Issue a credential, revoke it, then put it here. And that's, now you're compliant with scenario one.
As a first step would be like verify, here's our credential samples, make sure you can verify all of them. And then if you can also issue credential that you can verify in the same way, then when you're ready, you submit this. And I guess you would still need the client ID, client secret, because the OAuth.
Aspect and that's fine, right? Like, I don't think that's been causing issues to people.
No.
Okay. Do you feel like we've found a good direction as an answer to your questions?
The only last topic would be about the securing mechanism. Since you would be essentially sending a JOT, would the post-presentation be the same sort of verifiable credential dot here's the JOT, or would that change, like, how the post request for the present, like, how does the credential format change the post request that you're sending to presentations?
I think that's like a direct implementation detail that we need. Like, I think this is a let's raise an issue and answer it directly there. Yeah. I think, like, I don't think it makes sense to brainstorm on this call right now. If there even needs to be brainstorming, right? But, like, I think this is one of those things that's like, let's tackle this in an issue and review it there. And, you know, like, I get it. There's going to be some deltas with the way that we're going to go, but I think, you know, we should solve this in a GitHub issue.
Right. I'm pretty satisfied. That's one of my questions.
All right. Let's start with the, PRs then. So, here is the trace interop. Sorry, before we go PRs, does anybody have anything else they want to add on this topic? Awesome. So on the PR side, trace interop, I posted a link. The first PR one review is 628, and this was raised by Nis on the spec cleanup. This used to be the really big PR with a bunch of different things. It has been modified to only include cleanup to the spec where... Sorry, Nis, I'm taking
over. Go for it. We talked about it.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it. Now all it does is just clean up
extra
stuff that are like... These are, disaster recovery stuff. This is like extraneous text that really wasn't the heart of the spec, right?
Exactly.
And I think we've got 4 reviews and approvals. Does anybody have anything they would like to add on this PR? Yes, go ahead.
Well, just like it's more than a spec cleanup, right? It's like this what is new, literally new requirements, and this PR is what.
No, there's no new requirements here.
There was, but I took that out since we talked about it, and there was a fair bit of pushback.
Because
just
whenever these requirements are in, like this, that's a PR that should be considered because this is essentially what breaks. It's like, it's a breaking change, right? Like,
there are other PRs for that and we can discuss it. But in this PR specifically, all we're doing is all Nis is doing is just removing extraneous data, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Does anybody have any issues with PR number 628? Awesome. I'm hearing no issues. I'm going to go ahead and merge it in. Next up is PR number 630. Patrick, this was raised by you. Remove negative tests for context object items. And this had some changes requested by Chris.
Yeah, I mean, based on the conversation we had, like, any PR for the current test suites are sort of irrelevant in the longer term. Like, I don't know how soon this change is going to be made, but this was just one of the negative tests, which is not even relevant to the data model 2.0.
Yeah, and Chris's point here was that we should update the relevant schemas if we do. I don't know if you had a chance to update those.
Right, no, I have not. I'll have a look.
Okay. So, I mean, I think it's entirely up to you if you would like to close this PR, because we're going to be switching the way we do things. But I think that's going to take a little bit of time, right? And I think it's going to take a little bit of effort for somebody to, like.
Yeah, I think that the schema should still be changed because this change would align it with the actual VC data model 2.0 specification where it does allow for objects. So, I'll have to look how the schemas are created, but there should be like an or in there, like,
Be
a string or another. Yeah.
So let's move to the next PR then, unless you have anything else you want to add on that. Okay. Next PR is 635. This was raised by...
What is the order in which you take these? We have 6...
Am I not doing them in least recently updated?
Oh, at least recently updated.
Am I supposed to do it oldest? Sorry. I think I'm supposed to do it oldest.
That's the issue, right?
No. Yeah. Least recently updated is good. That's the one that forces churn. It's the
for
only
PRs?
One. For anything. PRs?
Okay.
No, I think for PRs you want to take first in, first out to avoid conflicts.
Except
that's what we've always done anyway.
The creation order does not maintain clear of conflict. It's interaction that introduces conflict.
That's true.
Ted, I agree with you on that point. However, we have always historically done oldest first for PRs, simply because it was and has always been our intention to process all PRs on the call. So churn never really factored into it that much. But for evaluating issues, you're correct. We always did least recently updated.
I'll debate your always.
Since I've been on the call.
It certainly happens often because it's the default sort order. But it doesn't prevent conflicts, and it's not guaranteed to get processed through one call. Recently, we've had relatively few PRs per call, but going back a bit, there were a number, and there were substantial conversations about them before they went in, often going to multiple calls to get through the list.
Fair point.
So, do we want to go with least recently updated? Keep running with that? Are we okay with it for this call? And
probably doesn't matter. I don't think we have collisions.
I hope not. Okay. So the next one is 635, which removes outdated did auth presentation scheme. So we don't use did auth. We have not used did auth for a very long time. I agree with the idea that we should not have did auth as, you know, a relevant thing in our spec. Anything that you would like to add on that, Ness?
Nope. You got it. It's pretty self-explanatory. We should have removed this long ago.
And we've been removing it, and we have issues for removing it, so this is pretty straightforward. Okay. Does anybody have any objections to merging in 635?
Okay. I'm just reading it. Mm-hmm. Just reading it over. It does not look like it does what it says on the label.
In what way? We've removed references to did auth in the past, right?
I don't see anything about did auth in what's being changed here.
Isn't 469 to 474 remnants of DDoS that we don't actually use?
Yeah, slash available and slash proof and slash submissions. That was the DDoS method.
Okay. All right, my bad. Sorry.
Yeah, it was just about doing that. Okay. Anyone have any issues with merging in 635? Awesome. Let's merge it in. Next up is 632. Putting this in chat. This is raised by NIS. And all this does is it updates the way the VC data model connection, like the way we link to the VC data model, right? Is that accurate?
I'm sorry, my GitHub is a little slow right now, so I'm not actually on it.
So what it's doing is it's adding a VC data model to the reference section and then referencing it from there instead of just linking to it, right? And I think that's some respec magic that had helped with in the past, unless I'm missing something here.
That I did that in one. Yeah, sounds about right.
And it has 4 approvals. And I don't think anybody has any issues with this. There's no material changes here. It's purely updating a link to a reference. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and merge in 632. We're moving today. Next up is 634, which I believe is identical, but for the DID core side. Yes. Yeah, it is identical. All it does is just adds DID core as a reference instead of a hard link, which is our intention. I think this has all approvals. It has 1, 2, 3 approvals and a comment by Ted that has since been included in. And
that was the magic part.
Yeah,
the magic.
That's the Ted magic part. Excellent. Does anyone have anything they want to say about this? Am I good to merge it in? Awesome. Merging in 634. Next up is 633, which is consistent trace vocab reference. This updates the exact same thing except for trace vocabulary. Instead of linking from the trace vocab specification, it does the same thing, but yeah. So this is wherever you find trace vocab, it does a reference instead. And I believe this has approvals. This does have approvals, and Ted has reviewed this for respec magic as well. I think there's conflicts on this one now. If you don't mind taking a look and
yeah.
I don't know where these conflicts are coming from, actually.
There's
a single conflict.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got it, but do you mind if you just resolve it?
I think this does.
Oh, I think it's because we merged in the VC data model one before this.
Yeah. Try now.
All right. There are no conflicts. And let me just review.
Yeah, please make sure I didn't.
Yeah, I'm just double checking.
I think it looks okay. Yeah.
Trace vocabulary, trace vocab, trace vocab. No, the VC data model thing you took. I think you accidentally reverted in the VC data model.
Oh, shoot. Oh, man.
It happens. Okay. Can you fix this while we review?
I will fix. Not while
we can also. Notes. Okay. We can just merge this out of band.
Yeah.
Unless anybody disapproves of that. With the idea that we're fixing just that one line that we just merged in. Right. I'm going to put a comment, please fix the change to the model reference previously merged in and merge out of band. Done. Next up, we have update mandatory to implement algorithms. This one is an update from ES384 to ES256. Ori is not on the line. Does anybody have any comment? Is this a dupe or not?
No, it wasn't. It was a dupe with my huge thing, but okay. Then I took all that stuff out.
Okay. Does anybody have any? Yes, please. This is, I think, the first material change PR that we have.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty similar to last time, and just the way that these requirements are being brought in as client requirements. You know, it's, as you mentioned last time, three vendors are under contract with CBP to, you know, build a traceable supply chain solution.
Or, I think, you know, you can completely ignore that and take this on its merits, right? And that's one of the reasons why we split these requirements individually. The yeah. question is, do you have any issue with switching the requirement from ES384 to ES256? I think the rationale behind that was that in the Jose Cose one, it references ES256.
And it kind of ties into that, right? Like it's an indirect requirement based on this. And as much as I like to believe that they are CBP requirements, these requirements were recommended by whoever is in contract with CBP. Like I highly doubt that they came to this conclusion by themselves, right? After all, these contractors are making recommendations. And so there's a bit of a catch-22 that I feel some discussion are being made out of band of this meeting that are then being brought back as factual requirements that were pre-discussed.
There's no factual statement of this is a requirement now, right? The only thing here is we have a proposal from Ori saying we should switch from ES384 to ES256, right? If this is a thing that you disagree with for whatever reason, let's revisit, right?
Yes. Like, I don't have any opposition to this.
Right.
At least for the time being.
The only thing I'm trying to say is that this customer requirement could be like his personal customer requirement that has nothing to do with CBP. I honestly don't know. But it's much more of a like, what makes sense here for the spec?
Right.
We could make this requirement be both. We could do anything else, right? It's all entirely about what we want to support. So, yes. To that point, does anybody have any issues with changing the request, the supported thing from ES384 to ES256? All right, hearing no objections, I'm going to go ahead and merge it in. The next one is, I think, by you, Patrick, which was remove revocation list, conformance collection, and interoperability tutorials. It says it's dependent on 629. What's 629? Oh, so let's do 629 first, maybe, because they're dependent on each other. And that one is the parent. So 629 is change collection link to use status list 2021 collection. And all it does is it changes what we point from credentials revocation to credentials status update. And there's been a long back and forth that resolved with the actual spec says we should do status list 2021, we should be testing for status list 2021. Is that an accurate, like, sum of where we ended up?
Yeah, so there was, this is where the discussion about internal endpoints, external endpoints, and a bit of, you know, clearly there was a different mindset of what should be tested. It ended up that these changes were approved, so I would still like this to be sort of merging for the short term as, you know, I think for the foreseeable future, these test suites will keep running as they are now until we change them. And this mm-hmm. can take, you know, some time. So I would still like to, this is a very selfish that I want to drop support for Revocation List 2020 without affecting the publicly disclosed conformity testing. And it does so happen to match the current spec. So yeah, I would like to get this merged in. I don't know, is there people that are still implementing Revocation 2020 or everyone is pretty much moved on 2021?
I think there are people who still support Revocation List 2020. However, we as a group have in the text that we will be testing Status List 2021. So I don't see an issue with that. And if they have that support and it, like, they need to show up to these calls to object, right? At some point, if you don't show up to these calls, you kind of, you know,
yeah,
and you don't object, and this issue has been up for quite a while, right? So I don't think we need to do any catering to anybody who refuses to show up, right? Does anybody have any issues with merging in 629? Okay, hearing none, I'm gonna go ahead and merge it in. Noting, of course, that we are hopefully moving away from this specific kind of test, right? As we previously agreed today. So back to 638, which had a dependency on this one. So 638 says remove Revocation List 2020 conformance collection. So in the previous one, we removed the link to it. This one says, hey, I don't even have it, right? We should just remove it completely, right?
Yeah, the previous one was like changing the link to 2021. So now that we have this interrupt testing, we can safely remove the test without just breaking the test, basically.
Absolutely. It has two reviews. Can I get one more person to review it, please?
One sec. There we go. Thank you, Patrick. This is great.
Awesome. Big fan of removing old stuff.
Excellent. Now, I would take the opportunity to maybe close, I don't know, like issue 482, which was asking, should we update the spec to use Status List 2021? I believe we've just made this.
Then I think we have. Give me a second. We can go through it. I just think there's like one more PR that.
Yep,
where, is
yep.
that all the PRs? No. That is all the PRs, right? That we had to review today on the trace and trope side? Yeah. So on the issues side, it was, which one? Sorry?
Was it 482?
482, yeah. Should we update the spec to use Status List 2021? And I believe this has now been complete. Actually, one thing is that it should be Bitstring status list, not status list 2021, right? Unless I'm mistaken. Isn't status list 2021 the old name for it?
Yes, it's Bitstring now, yeah.
I forgot that when we just merged that in. Okay. Can we update? Can I just keep this issue open and just change the name to, can we update the reference to Bitstring status list instead of status list 2021? Are we okay with that? Just because so we don't lose the housekeeping on it, right? Or we could do that in its own separate issues. It's not really a big deal, but while we're cleaning, might as well, right? Okay. We have 10 more minutes. Can we review trace vocab PRs quickly?
Yep.
If everyone's okay with that. Reviewing trace vocab PRs, and least recently updated. We have a reasonably big one by Russell. Russell is not here today, but he has updated quite a bit of work for the dates, right? We had a reasonably big issue on dates. Ori had a change requested, and I believe his comments have been addressed, maybe? I don't follow, actually. Yeah, he did, and then there was a conversation with Russell. Has anybody who's previously reviewed this, can you talk about it in this, maybe?
Some of them, I did kind of intake, just seems weird. I don't know. I do find the terms a little odd, frankly. It's an improvement. It's better than what we had, because that was just way wrong.
So what we had in a lot of places was just date. Now we're saying it's end date, not date.
And we had type and ID mixed up, and it was way bad. So it's definitely a step forward. I just find end date is a weird choice. But I still approve because it's moving in the right direction.
Okay. Does anybody have any other comments they want to add on this PR? It is an improvement. It is not ideal, but we never want to have perfect be the enemy of good.
So no, that's it.
Unless anybody has any issues with this. All right, we're going to go ahead and... Is this change request still open? I can't tell. It doesn't show that it is, but it sort of does. It's kind of weird. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and merge it in. All right, next up is 939, which adds Vlad as a contributor. He's made a ton of suggestions. I think the last time we reviewed this, it just was modifying things, right? And that's what Ted is saying as well. It overlaps with 937.
Wait, is it 939?
So this is, sorry, yes. This is 939, which adds Vlad as a contributor. And I'm confused why this fillable form change is still showing up, even though 937 has been previously merged. Is this just GitHub being funny?
I think it wants an upstream update.
It could. If I merge this in, it wouldn't actually do anything, right? It'll just work. It shouldn't cause any issues. Alright. Let me approve this. Oh, we did not have a CI run on this. Let me run that. And there are nobody's disapproving of this. So what I'll do is once the CI finishes completing, I'll go ahead and merge it, unless anybody has any issues with that. Okay. There is a draft PR by Patrick. Patrick, this is for PR number 930. Do you have any updates on this?
Which one is this?
This is the petroleum and natural gas title credential.
Yeah, so I actually have an update for the other one, the Mines Act permit. So I need to explain a bit like where I'm coming from with these PRs, which honestly will probably not gonna get merged. This was just to, initially we were gonna merge these PRs, but we are sort of rethinking the how BC will operate and publish these credentials. We are most probably gonna invest our effort more in the UNTP specification, rather than the traceability specification as far as vocabulary goes. So currently the BCGov has, they have their own VC infrastructure They have organization, registration, VCs, mines title VC, and they are drafting the petroleum and natural gas VC. Their VCs are obviously using Anon Creds currently, and what I'm doing is to bridge to a more rich, like a richer data model. For the petroleum and natural gas, their tenure team is currently on break until the end of the month, I believe. So I don't have quite an example. I was provided of an example of the mines permit, which will be pretty similar. So maybe we can look at the mines permit instead.
So that's 929. And on that one, so there was some changes that were requested by Ted. I don't know if you've had an opportunity to review those.
I reviewed some. Yeah. Let me see.
So do you think this PR is in a state where it is ready to be actually reviewed, or is it still in draft?
So the PR was reviewed. What I've added was the examples section, right? So the examples section was lacking. There was comment regarding the, you know, camel case, snake case discussion. So with Anon Creds, the convention is to use snake case. You know, it's a flat list of attributes that are published on the ledger, and every attribute gets a key pair, individual key pair, and the issuance. And this allows for selective disclosure and da-da-da-da, zero knowledge proofs. Now, what I want to do is, so the example you see there, it's kind of just reflecting this in a credential. So this flat list of attributes becomes the credential subject with the addition of a type. And the next step that I didn't put in it is to sort of move these. Yeah.
So what exactly are you referring to right now?
This is 929 and why it's snake case versus camel case.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you go in the examples, you know, either one of them. So let's take the example for the credential, BC Mines Act credential right at the end. You know, you're going to see the credential subject is a flat list of values.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So these are taken exactly from an issued Anon Creds credential that I have in a tenant wallet on the BC Gov infrastructure. And I've been just a really simple mapping, you know, to the credential subject part. I have another version that I sort of just move these credential around to make a bit more of a richer thing, you know, like a mines object with a location. And then you have the TSF, the tails file, which might be beneficial. So I guess like a bit of the example, I think me and you, Mahmoud, are going to discuss about this is like this kind of information, where would it fit in the traceability world, right? Like, cause this is like an authority credential that a producer would use to claim that he has the legal right to extract minerals at a specific location. And it's going to be very similar for the BC, tenure credential. So, and the UNTP.
So I guess my question is today, you're saying this referenced an existing issued credential. Where is that credential defined?
What do you mean?
Like, where is the JSON LD for this credential? There is none? Where is the...
So exactly, like, these credentials are not JSON LD. This is the JSON LD that I can issue with the whatever implementation I've built. Obviously, like, they won't keep a record of the issuing authority. You know, in the production use case, they are on the Canadian, like this pan-Canadian trust ledger. It's like an indie ledger, and every jurisdiction has like their own sort of governance to publish issuers on there, and then issuer can issue different credentials. So when they issue the Anon credit based on that DID, the sort of prototype I'm looking to do is to publish the same public key as this DID through a DID web method and access the same signing infrastructures, right? So I could sign a credential using the same private key of that issuer, but use a did web URL instead. And then I was going to use the also known as field to refer to the indeed. So, but this is okay. A bit above the
sort just of, yeah, looking at our time, we're 1 minute over, and I think this specific PR will need a more in-depth conversation, more in-depth review. Yes. So I don't think we can merge it in today. What I will say is if we are defining the JSON-LD here for this, I would like us to conform to what we're doing already, right?
Yes.
And to define it in such a way that it makes the most sense. So like having latitude and longitude, we've been using geo objects, and it wouldn't just be a string, it would be a reference to an actual JSON-LD. We would be using camel case, not snake case, all that little things that like...
Yes, which I have. I do have a version with this exactly. So the geo latitude location, I put that in a place object, you know, which is the mind, right? Which is a place, which has these attributes and other mind things.
So I think as is, I don't think this PR is ready for review and merging, and we can discuss that soon. Yeah. At any rate, thank you everyone for your time. I appreciate your hard work. We will be meeting again next week on Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you.
Beautiful.
We'll talk soon.
Toronto, remember we